Take your Bibles, please. Turn to the book of Hosea, chapter 4. Hosea, chapter 4. We're going to read verses 1 through 4 together. We'll read this passage responsively, and then we'll be turning to some other verses to read as well. Hosea, chapter 4, verses 1 through 4. Hosea chapter 4, verses 1 through 4. Again, let's read this passage responsively. Hear ye the word of the Lord, ye children of Israel. For the Lord hath a controversy with the inhabitants of the land, because there is no truth, nor mercy, nor knowledge of God in the land. By swearing, and lying, and killing, and stealing, and committing adultery, they break out, and blood toucheth blood. Therefore shall the land mourn, and everyone that dwelleth therein shall languish with the beasts of the field and with the fowls of heaven. Yea, the fishes of the sea also shall be taken away. Yet let no man strive, nor reprove one another, for thy people are as they that strive with the priests. I'll read verse 12 to you in Hosea chapter 4. My people ask counsel at their stocks, and their staff they declareth unto them, for the spirit of whoredoms hath caused them to err, and they have gone a-whoring from under their God. Now skip down to verse number 16. Let's read this verse together. Hosea 4:16. Ready? For Israel slideth back as a backsliding heifer. Now the Lord will feed them as a lamb in a large place. Now turn to James chapter 3. James chapter 3. All the way in the back of the New Testament, just about. We're going to read verses 1 through 6 together, and we'll read this passage responsively. James chapter 3, verses 1 through 6. James 3, 1 through 6. My brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, and able also to bridle the whole body. Behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths, that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Behold also the ships, which, though they be so great, and are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. Even so the tongue is a little member, and boasteth great things. Behold how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body, and setteth on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell. And let's pray. Father, thank you for our church. Lord, thank you for the wonderful spirit we have here with our people. Lord, may we realize that never again will we all be assembled together the same way. Lord, you have a truth just for us this morning. And it is exactly what you want your people to hear. Now fill our preacher with your power, please. Fill us with your power as we listen so that we would have open hearts to receive that which you have for us, please. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated.
One of my favorite ways of preaching a sermon is like I will preach this morning. I like preaching preventative sermons. I am going to preach on a subject today, and I do not feel that we have a major problem regarding this in our church. And that means it is to help prevent us from having a problem of this sort. I like preventing problems. I'd much rather see something coming and prevent it and than to have to get in a battle over it or whatever. I don't even see a problem in the future with this, but obviously when you hear the subject, you'll know that the devil has used this particular sin over and over and over again and has hurt church and family and Christian after Christian with the sin. I preached this sermon many, many years ago. Probably 15 years ago when I did, I told some people, I said, this sermon will be remembered, there's no doubt about it. When I preach it, you won't soon forget it. You'll probably never forget this sermon for the rest of your life. When I preached it before, I told them, I said, I'll tell you what, this sermon will go down in history like the great R.G. Lee's Payday someday. It'll be remembered like Jonathan Edwards, Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God. You'll remember it like the sermon of Jack Hiles called Fresh Oil, or J. Harold Smith's God's Three Deadlines. It'll be remembered like Lester Olof, Dr. Law, and Dr. Grace, or Pawing in the Valley. The title of my sermon today is entitled, Hold Your Tongue, Heifer. Hold Your Tongue, Heifer. In James chapter 3, we read it earlier. The whole passage of Scripture there is about the use of the tongue. In verse number 2 in James 3, it says this, for in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, and able also to bridle the whole body. What the Bible is telling us there is, if you can control your tongue, you can control your body. The quickest way to get control of your body is to get control of your tongue. You show me somebody that's got their tongue out of control, I'll show you somebody that has a body that's out of control as well. In verse number 6 of James chapter 3 it says, and the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body, and setteth on fire the course of nature, and is set on fire of hell. Here the Bible says the tongue is a fire. And that fire will defile the whole body. So in other words, there's the little member inside our mouth called the tongue, and somehow it's like a fire, and it sets on fire the whole body. Once again, you go back to verse number 2, God's saying if you can't control your tongue, you won't control your body. If your tongue's out of control, your body's probably out of control. In verse number 8, it says, but the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. Here the Bible says the tongue is unruly. Here the Bible tells us that the tongue is evil. Here the Bible tells us that our tongues are full of deadly poison. Oh my, what the tongue does to us. You know, as I look around this auditorium, probably everybody, everywhere, if you would look back over the week, you would say, if I made a mistake this week, if I did something dumb this week, it probably had something to do with your tongue. If there was tension at work, if there was tension at home, if there was tension in your marriage, if there was tension in your ministry, if there was tension with your children, somehow the tongue got involved. The old tongue just takes off a running on you, and you say, my goodness, there it goes again. And you look at it so many times and say, why did I say that? Why did I let that happen? The tongue's unruly. The tongue will take off on you, and it'll do its own thing, and it'll cause you grief. Then in verse number 10 of James chapter 3, it says, out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. You say, preacher, Sunday I said amen in church, and on Monday I said, and I should have said that nasty word that I said. Yeah, the Bible says, out of the same mouth comes cursing and blessing. You say, why? Because the tongue is evil, and the tongue is powerful, and the tongue is like a wild animal that needs to be harnessed. It says here in verse number 10, my brethren, these things ought not so to be. In other words, our tongue shouldn't be running loose, and our tongue shouldn't get the best of us. And God's saying, brethren, get control of your tongue. Now, another passage of Scripture we read together from Hosea chapter 4. In Hosea chapter 4, I'm going to read a little bit of it to you once again. In Hosea chapter 4 it says, hear the word of the Lord, ye children of Israel, for the Lord hath a controversy with the inhabitants of the land. Now, I'd hate to have a controversy with God. I'd hate God to have to look at me and say, Jeff Owens, I have a controversy with you. You know what he's saying? He said, I got a problem with you. There's something about you that's out of control. There's something about you that needs to be corrected. Now, I'll point out to you what caused God to use such strong words about the inhabitants of the land. What caused him to say, I have a controversy with you? He says, I have controversy with the inhabitants of the land because there is no truth, nor mercy, nor knowledge of God in the land. I want to point out something to you. In these four verses, he mentions some different sins about which he has controversy, but overwhelmingly, it is the sin of a lack of control of their tongues. He mentions there's no truth. Well, you know, if someone's lying, if there's an absence of truth, the tongue is being misused. He says in verse number 2, he says, by swearing. Now, how do you swear? You swear using what? Your mouth or your tongue. Then he talks about the very next words are in verse number 2, and lying. Now, how do you lie? You lie with your tongue. You swear with your tongue. You have an absence of truth with your tongue. You go to verse number 4, and the Bible says, yet let no man strive. When there is strife between two people, I will guarantee you it has something to do with the tongue. Then you go, as you read through this passage of Scripture, you get down to verse number 12, and it talks about them seeking counsel. What's happened there? And he's not pleased about what's happening here. They're listening with their ears to something they should not be listening to. In other words, somebody is misusing the tongue, and they're listening to the misuse of that tongue. And so God said, I have a problem with that. There's something wrong with that. In verse number 4, it talks about someone had verbally launched an attack on a leader or on a man of God. And God has said, I have a problem with that. You're misusing your tongue. Now, James chapter 3, over and over and over again, talks about the misuse of the tongue, how it's evil and it's unruly and it's like a wild animal and it's got to be brought under control. And here God does the same thing. Now, what's interesting is, in Hosea chapter 4, verse 16, it says, God is about to talk about these people and the misuse of their tongue, and he uses these words. He says, for Israel slideth back as a backsliding heifer. God is comparing the people of Israel who are not controlling themselves, and especially in the area of their tongue, to backsliding heifers. A backsliding heifer, you say, what is that? That's an animal that's out of control, wild, virtually untamed. James chapter 3, verse 8 said, but the tongue can no man tame. God said, you're like an out-of-control heifer. Your tongue is just wagging like an animal's tongue, and you've got to get it under control. God said that we put a bit in a horse's mouth, and we can control the whole body. You put a bit in a horse's mouth, and you've seen me do this before. A couple of occasions, Brother Jones lended me bits and reins for a horse. You put a bit and you put the reins, you get a hold of those reins and that bit in a horse's mouth, you can control that whole massive body. But if you can't control a tongue, you're not going to control the rest of the body. The Bible says in Psalm 39:1, it teaches us to bridle our tongue. The Bible says in James chapter 3, verse number 2, that to bridle the tongue is to bridle the body. But God said, you and your tongue is out of control. And there in Hosea chapter 4, it actually mentions, it compares it to a heifer that's out of control. I have here today a heifer tongue. Have you ever seen the size of a heifer tongue? That's a pretty big tongue. Some of you need a check. This is not yours. I'll promise you something, folks. The thing that hurts your marriage most is your tongue. The thing that hurts your relationship with mom and dad the most is your tongue. The thing that, all across this nation, there will be churches that will have a bad morning, and I'll tell you why. Somebody in the church been wagging their tongue. That thing right there caused you grief. That old tongue right there caused you problem after problem after problem. I wonder how many young people get in trouble at school, and it's not because they didn't put a period at the end of the sentence and they forgot a comma where it belonged. It's not because they didn't know what a conjunction was. Most of the time, young people that are getting problems in school, it's because of their tongue. How are you doing with your tongue? How are you doing with your tongue? There's a story in the Bible about a man by the name of Korah. Korah rose up and rebelled against Moses and actually caused an entire mutiny where thousands upon thousands upon thousands of people died, and it was a mutiny caused because of a tongue. A tongue. A tongue that caused a mutiny. And thousands of people died. And you're going to find this out. You're going to find out that the tongue is what causes mutiny. You'll find out it is tongue that causes the disloyalties that break our heart. It's the tongue. It's the tongue. It's the tongue. It's the tongue. Get your tongue under control. In this story of this fellow by the name of Korah, let me read something to you. The Bible says in Numbers 16, verse 2 and 3, and they arose up before Moses and certain of the children of Israel, 250 princes of the assembly, famous in the congregation, men of renown. They gathered themselves together against Moses and against Aaron and said unto them, you take too much upon you, seeing all the congregation are holy, even of them, and the Lord is among them. Wherefore then lift ye up yourselves above the congregation of the Lord. What happened is, a fellow by the name of Korah got some people together, and they started talking about things, and they started rebelling with their attitude. They started complaining, and complaining, this is what you use to complain with. Your tongue. You complain with your tongue. Hey, may I throw something in here? People in the United States of America have very little to complain about. We have very little to complain about. But watch out for that old tongue. In Numbers 16:9, it tells us again that Korah gathers a group of backsliding people together and they begin backbiting. In Numbers 16:3, it tells us that they were complainers and they used their tongue. It tells us in verse 11 that they were critics and they used their tongue. In verse number 10, it tells of their jealousies and they were using their tongue. They were using their tongue to complain. They were using their tongue to gripe. They were using their tongue to criticize. They were using their tongue to spread their jealousy. I'll just promise you something, folks. The tongue is powerful. Now, you have muscles in your body that are bigger than the tongue, but I don't think there's any muscle in the body that causes you as much problem as your tongue. As the tongue. Hold the tongue. God said there in Hosea, we have a group of people, they're acting like backslidden heifers. They're talking and misusing their tongue, he said. I say, get that tongue under control, heifer, backslidden heifer. Get that under control. The Bible says, according to Numbers chapter 16, this story, these people that gathered around Korah, and they all their criticism and their griping and all that they said, God hated the gossip so much that he opened up the earth and all these people fell into it. God opened the mouth of the earth, maybe the only mouth bigger than Korah's at that time, and they were swallowed into it. And the Bible says not only Korah, but all that appertained, the Bible says, unto Korah. In other words, anybody that was a part of the gossip and the criticism and the griping, they that willingly listened, they all fell into the earth. The Bible says that there were those, you could hear them crying and screaming. God came along and said, you misuse your tongue, you abuse people with your tongue, you talk bad about people with your tongue, you spread gossip with your tongue. He came along and said, I've just flat out had it. I have had it. He said, I'm going to open up the earth. I'm going to let the people fall into the earth that are misusing their tongue. Now let me explain something. There's some of you in here, you would not commit adultery. No way you would. Hey, God did not open up the earth in the day of Korah to swallow up all the people that were committing adultery. He swallowed up the people that were misusing their tongue. Misusing their tongue. Everybody that stood by, when the earth began to open up, the Bible says, everybody that was standing nearby took off running. They did not want to hear the screams of the people that were falling into the earth. Remembering, the people falling into the earth were the ones that were being punished for misusing their tongue. And everybody took off running and said, I don't want to hear a word that they had to say. Why? God said, anybody that said it, anybody that was listening to it, they're going to the center of the earth to be punished. You just check the scripture. It says all that appertained unto Korah with men, those that were talking and those that were listening. Did you know the only way people can gossip to you is if you lend them your ears? Gossip is a two-part thing. It's tongue and its ears.
Right.
Man, these people all fall into the earth. They were swallowed into the earth. When they fell into the earth, they were crying out. And nobody wanted to hear it. They said, I don't want to hear anything that those people have to say. Look at the trouble their mouth has gotten them into. Folks, and think about it. Most of the time, you get yourself into trouble with your mouth. They said, these people are going to get us into trouble. Go listen. Then you get to verse number 41 of Numbers chapter 16. And the next day, a bunch of people got together. Let me tell you how dumb these people were. A whole bunch of people just got swallowed into the earth. I mean, thousands upon thousands upon thousands upon thousands of people got swallowed into the earth because of the use of their tongue. And the next day, a bunch of people got together and started gossiping and griping about what God had done. The Bible says that God sent a plague and killed 14,700 people. Why? Their tongue. Their tongue. Their tongue. That old thing called your tongue gets you in a lot of trouble. Hold that tongue, backslidden heifer. Control your tongue. And the good thing for me is, I don't know of anybody that's going around the church and causing trouble and gossiping. All churches have them. There may be somebody out there that I don't know who you are. But I'll tell you this, I don't want that happening in this church. I want this church to stay unified. I want us to stay on the same page. I want us to serve the same Jesus and believe the same book and love the same God. And I don't think God gave us our tongues to hurt the church or hurt each other or hurt the cause of Christ. Not at all. Let's hold our tongue. Gossip destroys revivals. Gossip destroys unity. Gossip destroys people. It is as wrong today to gossip and be critical as it was in the day of Korah. Watch your tongue now. Watch your tongue. God says it's like a wild animal. It takes off and it says what it wants. It'll tear people to shreds. Watch your tongue, Christian. There are many terms used in the Bible and many terms that we use today that tell us of the misuse of the tongue. We use the word gossip. What's it talking about? The misuse of the tongue. Criticizing. What is it? The misuse of the tongue. Murmuring, the Bible calls it. The misuse of the tongue. It's all the moan. Hey, you don't have to say words. There are times when you just moan and groan and make your little sounds that make your statement about how you feel about something. It's a misuse of the tongue. It's a misuse of the mouth. Watch your tongue, Christian. Watch it now. Watch that tongue. We could clear up a lot of marital problems in the church if people would just watch what they say. Why is it that we feel bad after we say what we say? Why didn't we feel bad about it before we said it so we wouldn't have to apologize? Well, the old tongue, it shot out of the gate like a wild heifer. It took off running through the field of life. It started hurting people before we got that thing back under control, back in the barn where it belongs. Keep your mouth shut so you don't hurt yourself and you don't hurt other people. It's called gossip. It's called criticizing. It's called murmuring. It's called backbiting. You know, most all criticism is done behind the victim's back. You'll find very few people who are critics and gossips that will say what they say to somebody's face. That in itself shows you that they know it's wrong. Somehow in there, they know that what they're doing is wrong. They're not saying it to the face of the victim. Psalm 64:3 compares our words to a knife or a sword. You ever heard the word, he or she's a backstabber? What do we mean by that? He or she is a backstabber using their tongue to poke somebody in the back as if it were a sword. The Bible calls it being a tale bearer. The Bible calls it being a slanderer. I call it being a manure spreader. Being a machine gun mouth. Being like a garbage distributor. Being like a potty mouth, a mudslinger. You call it whatever you want to call it, but it is a misuse of the tongue. Every time you open your mouth to talk, your brain walks out so we can see what's been going on in your brain. Some talk bad on paper. For instance, Sanballat and Tobiah. The Old Testament story in the book of Nehemiah, they wrote letters attacking Nehemiah. So they were using paper to say they're bad and to misuse their tongue. It doesn't necessarily have to be the actual physical organ of your tongue. It is your talk. They wrote letters attacking Nehemiah. Hey, let me ask you a question. Was the last letter you wrote, was it positive about the people that you mentioned in it, or was it negative? Can I tell you something? I believe you don't have to worry about the U.S. mail anymore. You got to worry about email, and you got to worry about all the chat rooms and all the junk that people are writing and sending back and forth today. And I'm just telling you, look, I wouldn't want to be on somebody's email list that went around talking bad about other people and the things of God. I wouldn't want to be a part of that. Watch your tongue. Watch your tongue. Watch your tongue. Does your mail include gossip and criticism and negative? Psalm chapter 45, verse number 1, it says, the tongue is like the pen of a ready writer. Psalm chapter 64, verse number 3 says, the tongue is a sword. What's a sword do? It cuts people. It stabs people. You say, well, that little old thing right there, it's limp. The Bible says, spiritually, when God looks at the tongue, he sees it like a sharpened sword, and you take it, and you're jabbing people with your tongue. You're slicing at them as if it were as sharp as a razor. And we all know, words can be very sharp. Words can be very penetrating. Words damage people. The Bible tells us in James 3:6, the tongue is a fire. You say, but wait a minute. That tongue right there, what God is saying spiritually, is that the tongue is like a fire. Hey, there are people in here, you say, Brother Owens, I would never take gas and put it on somebody at the church and light a match to them. I would never do that. Well, let me ask you this. Do you take your tongue and set a reputation on fire? No, you would never physically start somebody on fire. But there are people in this room, you would take your tongue and you would use it like somebody would use a striker for their fireplace. And you'll strike somebody's reputation on fire. You'll use your tongue to hurt other people. James chapter 3, verse number 6, it tells us the tongue is like a fire. It burns, it scorches, and it scars. I wonder how many people will have to have the flesh of their spiritual body replaced because of a fire that you caused when they got third-degree burns from the words and the things that you said about them. How many are going to have skin transplanted on their spiritual reputation because you burnt them with your words? Psalm chapter 57, verse number 4, the Bible says the tongue is like an arrow. It pierces hearts. It's sharp and pointed. It can just split somebody open. Proverbs chapter 17, verse number 20, tells us that the tongue is perverse. The Bible is teaching us people can have perverted tongues. You had a perverted tongue? How do you use your tongue? Do you use it to uplift and to encourage? Proverbs 21, 23 says, keep your tongue in your mouth. But that is if there's room. Keep your tongue in your mouth. Proverbs 26, 28 says there's such thing as a lying tongue. Proverbs 28, 23 talks about the flattering tongue. Proverbs 14, 3 talks about a mouth full of pride. Proverbs 25, 15 says even a soft tongue can break a bone. Even a soft tongue can break a bone. Do we care that we break the spiritual bones of the baby Christians around us? Do we care that we break the spiritual bones of those that are trying to have a backbone for God? Do we care? The tongue is powerful. The tongue is powerful. Proverbs chapter 6, verse 25 says, some people's mouths are like snares. What's a snare? They're like a trap. You watch. There are some people, everything they say has a catch to it. They're going somewhere to get something, and you may not always know, but it's a trap. They're using their words to trap people like a fly trap. Some people's tongues, you ever seen one of those fly tapes where it's that real sticky tape and a fly rests on it and then it's stuck? That's how some people's tongues are. They're out just trying to trap people. They're out trying to snare people. There's something they want to capture. There's something they're trying to accomplish. And God said, your tongue can be like a snare. It can be like a trap. Jeremiah 57 verse 4 talks of a man whose wide mouth, and he had a wide mouth and his tongue was just hanging out. The Bible talks about the tongue of a whore. Let me explain something to you. It has been my responsibility through many, many years to counsel, and to counsel thousands of people. And I'll promise you, I've counseled thousands of marriages. I have never in my life seen an adulterous situation that started out with sex as the purpose. It virtually always starts out where two people just got to talking. they talked. And before long, they talked about what they should not talk about. And before long, they shared what should have only been shared with a husband, or only been shared with a wife. And I'll guarantee you, people don't hop into hay first. They hop into sinful conversation. Let me say to every one of us, you go out to work in the secular world and you work with some man at work or some woman at work and you're not married to them, you better watch what you say. You better watch what you listen to. The tongue will lead you to fornication. The tongue will lead you to adultery. The tongue will lead you to destroying your marriage and destroying your purity and destroying your morality. The tongue! The tongue! The tongue! Watch out! Get that tongue under control, backslidden heifer. You're misusing your tongue. Oh, the tongue is powerful. The Bible in Proverbs 10:31 talks about the froward tongue. You know what it says? It says the froward tongue ought to be cut out. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 20, verse number 9, that talks about the tongue, the talebearer, that reveals secrets. You know what? People that have a wagging tongue, they can't be trusted. Let me tell you something, folks. If you're running with people, going around talking about people all the time, they'll be talking about you too. They can't be trusted. If the tongue's out of control with you, it'll be out of control about you. You and your buddy sit at coffee and you tear somebody else up in the church and you talk bad about them. Can I tell you, your buddy is going to have coffee with somebody else tomorrow and you will be the victim of that long, dangly, nasty, evil tongue. Tongue's a wild thing. It's unruly. It can't be tamed. You are the victim of the people with whom you're criticizing. I'll guarantee it. They talk behind your back probably today. The way the tongue is. It says it is an unruly evil. Get that? Unruly evil. You know, some of the reason none of you, there's some of you, you never say amen in church. Is that because your tongue is so wore out from what you've been saying all week long? You don't, help me now. You don't say amen in church because you're too busy saying, oh me. Oh my, did you hear? Did you hear, Brother Nash? Did you hear? I'll promise you, there are people that don't sing out in church and don't say amen in church and don't bless God in church, and I'll tell you why. Your tongue is tired from all the other stuff you've been talking about. The tongue. The tongue. You know, people may ask you to criticize others, but they personally can only handle praise. You know, the people that are the criticizers and the gripers and the complainers, and you know what? They're glad to talk. But I'll tell you something. You just let somebody say something about them. They are angry and mad. They can't believe anybody would act that way. What kind of Christian are those folks? My, oh my, you can be dead sure it's that way. Hey, let me ask you a question. Would you say it if every word you said would be printed and distributed for all to read? Would you? Would you have said that in private with that fellow or with that woman? Would you have said that in private if you would have known that we were going to read it out loud in church? You say, why no? Then maybe it wasn't a wise thing to say. Maybe it shouldn't have been said. Your problem is you're more worried about what people hear than what God hears. That's the problem. You watch that tongue. It's destructive. It's like an animal. It's out of control. God said, you get that tongue back in your mouth. You're like a backslidden heifer. Get your tongue back in your mouth. Listen, folks. Let me tell you this. All ages of people have got to learn to control their tongues. All ages of people. We give women a hard time and say that women are gossips. Well, I apologize, men, but men are gossips too. Men are gossips too. Used to be, people give women a hard time, say they're on that phone and they're gossiping and they're down at the laundromat. That's back when you had to go somewhere to do your laundry. I'm showing my age here. Down at the laundromat, they're gossiping. I've worked in the secular world. I work in the factories, and men run their mouth as fast as women do. Adult men need to watch their gossip and watch their tongue, and women need to watch their gossip. Teenagers need to watch it. You young people need to stop and realize something. Your tongue is very damaging. What you say about people and the way you say it and the way you talk to people, it's very damaging. Children need to learn to watch it. Someone said you ought to talk at home as if the family parakeet hosts a daily national TV broadcast. Let me explain something, parents. Most of the time, not all, most of the time, children learn to gossip and criticize from their parents. When children run around criticizing everybody and tearing everything to shreds with their mouth, they have learned that somewhere. Some parents need to decide to shut their mouth so that they then have the leverage to say to the children, be quiet, we're not going to talk that way. Be quiet, we're not going to talk that way. I travel the country, and I have the privilege of preaching with what we would probably call the leaders of fundamentalism. But I will not sit around and gossip about people, and they know it. There's some almost miserable around me. I have no interest in knowing all the bad stuff about everybody else, and that's just their opinion, what's bad stuff anyway. And then there's just something, you get around them, the minute you're around them, they want to say, did you hear about this? Did you hear about this? Did you hear about this? Did you hear about that? Hey, did you hear about Jesus? Did you hear that God is still alive? They call it professional. Well, I say to preachers across fundamentalism, some of them need to keep their big fat mouths shut. They need to get their tongue and stick it back in their mouth where it belongs. Mind their own business. I don't go around criticizing other fundamental Baptist churches and what goes on there. And I don't need them to stick their nose into my business. Now they will anyway, but I just say to them, you ever felt a cow's tongue? It's like a piece of sandpaper. You want to feel that, Brother Bush? Okay, feel it. Here, let me. That's the sloppiest kiss he's gotten all week. All ages of people have got to watch what? The tongue. The tongue. I'll promise you, if you find yourself developing a bitterness about the cause of Christ or your church, somebody's been talking. Guarantee it. Somebody's been talking. First of all, there are a lot of different terms in the Bible talking about the tongue. It's gossip and criticism and murmuring and backbiting and talebearer and slandering. And then secondly, all ages of people need to watch how they use their tongue. Let me remind all of us then, thirdly, that the tongue is to be used for good, not for bad. The tongue is to be used for good, not for bad. Psalm 19:14 says, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. It is not that you and I are to say what is acceptable to us or to the person listening. What we say is to be acceptable to our God. To our God. The Bible here talks about the meditation of the heart. Just so you know, what you meditate on is what you will talk about. What you meditate on is what you will talk about. There are some people that do nothing but meditate on the faults of everybody else. It's all they meditate on. It's all they think about. There are some that meditate on the Word of God. You won't want to be in a conversation with them. They'll talk about Jesus. But you haven't got any dirt on Jesus. You don't have anybody say anything bad about Jesus. Why would you want to talk to anybody about Jesus? We want to find something wrong with somebody. We want to find something wrong with this and wrong with that. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. The Bible says in Proverbs 10:20, a good tongue produces words of silver. That means they're valuable. That means what is said is productive. That means what is said is of value to somebody other than you. I don't understand folks who have to tear the guy down that's beside them to get themselves lifted up.
The only way you can get up the ladder is to tear the guy down that's beside you on the ladder. You're weak. You are very, very, very weak. There is so much jealousy in Christianity sometimes. It's pathetic. Somebody has something that somebody else wants, and the only way they're going to get it is to tear down the guy that's got it. That's not how God planned it. Proverbs 10:20 says a good tongue produces words of silver. Proverbs 15:4 speaks of a wholesome tongue. Proverbs 12:18 talks about a wise tongue. And it says that a wise tongue will bring health to your body. You know, you understand that? Can I tell you, I cannot judge this, and you can't judge this about me. I cannot judge this about you, and I don't think anybody ought to go around judging anybody about it. But I will tell you this. The Bible teaches somebody that has a tongue out of control is going to suffer some physical lack of health. If you'll use your tongue right, God can increase your health. And if you misuse your tongue, it is going to bring to you some type of illness, some type of sickness, some type of a lack of health. I believe it's taught all the way through the Bible. Why? God said you get that tongue under control before it destroys you. Proverbs chapter 18, verse 21, it says, life is in the tongue. Proverbs 31:26 says, the law of kindness is in a virtuous woman's mouth. In other words, and especially, what's ever happened to women being kind? What's happened to the women being the ones that are gentle and kind and cautious and careful with their words? We've almost had a role reversal in America. You got a bunch of half-twimpy, twerpy men walking around. You got a bunch of masculine, hairy-legged women running around. You got a bunch of mamby-pamby, sissy-britches men running around. And then you got a bunch of women walking around like they're bodybuilders. Right. Ladies, you're supposed to be the ones that help keep the rest of us kind and gentle. Don't you misuse that tongue. I've watched many a man led astray because his wife couldn't keep her mouth shut. She pulled him down. I've watched through my 30-plus years of preaching, I've watched woman after woman after woman that could not control her tongue in her home pull her husband and all of her kids and the whole family out of church because the husband just couldn't contend with her mouth anymore. The Bible says in Proverbs 10:12, your mouth is to be like a refreshing well. You know, if we spend as much time soul winning as we do gossiping, we could win the world to Christ. And we talk so much about things that don't matter anyway. You know, you're having a conversation about a television show isn't going to make any difference for Jesus at all. Probably just a waste of your time. Now, if you want to talk about sports, I'm not against sports. I love sports. But I think it would be a sad thing that you have all the sports scores memorized for the week, but you've not memorized one single verse in 2009. Not one single Bible verse. We talk so much, we use our tongue so much. We talk about what's on MTV, which is full of filth. We want to talk about Brad Pitt. Is that his name, or Spit? Or Angelina Jolene, whatever her name is. Our rock stars and our country singers and our rap singers and our Christian rock and roll and all of that. Folks, we better learn to use our tongue properly. Is there not something better about which to talk? When was the last time you told anybody how many folks were saved at church last week? And listen, hey, you know, I'm not trying to make you mad at me, but there are people in here, you will discuss a sports score every week of your life with somebody, but you have never gone to that somebody and said, guess how many people were saved at my church last week? Now, you tell me what's most important to you. Your team score, or the score between Jesus and the devil and the people that we kept out of hell? When's the last time you told anybody how many folks were baptized, or that we had a full altar? Hey, when was the last time you said, well, I'll tell you what, I've seen this show on television, and I just got to tell you all about it. How much time did you spend telling anybody about our Thanksgiving service that we had here, and what we did in honor of and in respect of the special needs people? Or does Hollywood get the use of your tongue more than God? Will you go away talking positive or negative about today's sermon? Anybody? Oh, I didn't want to leave you out over there. Hey, let me explain something to you.
There's even that level of professional criticism. You're just so smart. You know what's wrong with everybody. Well, if you're so powerful, you know how to control your brilliance and wisdom too, won't you? When's the last time you talked about a life that was changed, or the good things that happened at church, or the good, hey, how much time do you spend talking about all of our teenagers that did not get pregnant out of wedlock? You let one gal or one fella make a bad mistake, and young people, I'll say it again, I've said it before, you keep your hands off of each other until you get married. But let me then again qualify, if you ever goof up and mess up, your preacher loves you and I'll help you. You don't have to run from me if you make a tragic mistake in life. But I'll tell you what happens, you can let some young person mess up morally in the church and it spreads all the way across the church and everybody in the community hears about it. Well, hey, let's tell everybody, our teenagers are pure and they're virgin and they're clean and they're not making mistakes. Why is it we spread the dirt but we don't spread the positive stuff? Is it tongue problems? Is it tongue problems? Somebody can break their heart. And anybody that's ever been through a divorce has had a broken heart. And I pray for them and I love them. And you've heard me say it before, you're not a second-class citizen around here. Somebody can face a terrible thing in their marriage and everybody talks about it. Everybody talks about it. You know what I ought to do? I ought to march everybody across the platform that never got a divorce so you have something real to talk about. Let's talk about the ones that made it. Let's talk about the ones that are successful. Let's talk about the ones that are happy. A young person can rebel and do bad and do wrong and get in trouble. Everybody talks about it. Are you talking about all the kids that went soul winning this week? Are you talking about all the kids that read their Bible and prayed and obeyed and didn't get the marriage? What's wrong with people? We misuse that tongue. That old tongue gets out of hand. Now, I'll tell you something. Not only do we have to learn to control our tongue, we're going to have to learn to control our ears. I was going to get a pig's ear, but I knew I'd have Brother Bush in here, so I'll use one of his. You got your knife with you? You got to learn to control your ears. Acts chapter 4, verse 20 says, "For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard." Can I tell you something? The Bible says, if you hear it, you're going to say it to somebody. If you hear it, you're going to say it to somebody. Say, well, what do I do? You better stay away from the negative, critical, nasty gossips. You will pass it on. See, some people's ears are like vacuum cleaners, always going around sucking up all the dirt that they can. Those who listened to Korah's rebellion, gossip, and disloyalty, they died in the hole with the talkers. Listeners died with the talkers. You know, you wouldn't personally say anything bad about your leader, but you would listen. You wouldn't personally say anything bad about your leader, but you'd listen to other people do it. Did you know you can't stop somebody's tongue, but you can stop your ears? Proverbs 25:23 says, "The north wind driveth away rain, so doth an angry countenance a backbiting tongue." First of all, you ought to avoid people that have nasty, critical, gossipy, all that stuff, all the murmuring, all of it. You ought to avoid somebody that has that kind of tongue. You say, well, what do I do if I'm stuck and I can't do anything? The Bible says, the north wind driveth away rain, so doth an angry countenance, a backbiting tongue. What you do is you just let them know you're displeased. You growl at them. I'll promise you, if you're sitting at the table at work with some people and you can't get up and you can't move and they start gossiping, if you'll do this, they'll shut up. You say, I've never acted a fool like that. I know. You just sit there and listen to it. You know, it doesn't take much for you to let somebody know that you don't like it. Look, you're very good at it when you don't like something, making your grunt to make it clear. What do you mean by that? I didn't say anything. What's wrong? Nothing. Well, look, you express your distaste for what bothers you that way. How about when somebody goes to talking bad about somebody, you just make it clear, I don't want to hear it.
You see, the way to control your tongue is to control your ears, because if you never heard the bad, you'd have no way to pass it on. See, a gossip is someone who can give you all the details without knowing any of the facts. Sometimes you think you're strengthening a relationship because you share gossip. You know, the Bible says that the tongue is like a deadly poison. And so there are some of us, we've got some gossip, and we think, you know, I'm going to drink me some poison. And there's my son. Son, I'd like for you to drink some poison. Because we're relatives. Relatives ought to kill each other with poison. Yeah, there's one of my friends I ought to kill you with. Let's have some poison together. You say, that's not how I think. I know you don't think according to the Bible. Bible says the tongue is full of deadly poison. You don't share it with people that you love. You don't want to destroy them. You don't share. Hey, the Bible says a whisperer separateth chief friends. Let me tell you something. I've seen this happen time and time again. I have watched people that are gossips continually together. They're buddies, they're friends. This is what they do. Eventually, they attack each other. I'm not the oldest man in fundamentalism, but I do know this. I have watched for years. I've even watched primary fundamentalists that will get together and do nothing but attack and gossip about other people. And you just give them a year or two, and those two that have unified to attack somebody attack each other. There are some of you, you gossip and you criticize and you do it with what you call your friend and you do it with those people that are your professional companions. I don't give you long. You'll attack them next. That's the way it is. Watch. Don't gossip with your husband. Don't gossip with your wife. Don't gossip with your family. Don't gossip with your friends. Don't gossip with your ministry associates. And remember, if they'll gossip to you about someone, they'll gossip about you to someone. Gossip lusts ears and is looking for an ear that will listen in. Oh boy, I've got so much to say and I'm out of time. I wish I wouldn't have decided that I'd try to always have you out by 12:30. I should have made it 1:30 every Sunday. Let me recommend that the ministries here in this church not criticize one another. Sunday school classes, don't criticize one another. The youth department, don't criticize the bus ministry. Bus ministry, don't criticize the youth department. Music groups, don't be going around talking and gossiping and criticizing one another. Every music group that practices, it's to be a music practice, not a gossip session. Every time there's a prayer meeting, we're even careful about how we share prayer requests around here. We don't need somebody to stand up and say, well, pray for old so-and-so. They're married. He's on the rocks. He left her last night. He's back. Pray. There's an inappropriate way of giving a prayer request. We're getting ready to start some ministries for our missionaries here at the church, and ladies are going to have a chance to get together and do some things for our missionaries. I'll promise you this, the first time I find out it turns into nothing but a gossip session, we'll shut her down. Bus routes shouldn't criticize one another. I'll tell you this. Not only should we be careful within our ministry not to be gossiping, if you say, well, I know something about somebody and it's bad, why don't you hit your knees and tell God about it? You better tell the one that can do something about it. I think we ought to even be careful that we just don't talk too much during church. You know, it'd be a pretty sad thing that I spend 35 minutes talking about misappropriation of the tongue. There'd been somebody sitting here talking for 30 minutes while I was preaching. You're supposed to listen to preaching, not talk all the time. Be careful. When they play an offertory, somebody's practiced real hard. It might be good for us to listen to a little bit of that. Don't talk during the invitation. When somebody's singing a special, it's disrespectful for people to sit out there and have a conversation like you're down at McDonald's having a morning cup of coffee. Then we won't speak up during the singing. Listen, if I were you, I'd just sing out wherever you're at in the auditorium. Those of you up there in that balcony, you go ahead and sing out. You say, well, there's nobody up here singing. It doesn't matter. You sing. Use your tongue for God. Use your tongue for God. And there's just so much idle talk. Just too much idle talk. Let's learn to talk among ourselves properly. Husbands, converse with wives and wives with husbands and talk to your children. And be positive. And let's just talk right. Let's do right.
Now let me say this, and I'm finished. Did you know that there are some things that just don't need to be said?
You say, well, what I know about old so-and-so's true.
Well, just because something is true doesn't mean that you need to tell everybody. God knows some things that are true about you. Do you want God to tell everything that He knows that's true about you? What you think? What you have done? What you have thought about doing? Somehow we get this idea that if it's true, it's okay to talk about it. You show me that in the Bible. And I think what God will do is God will just start revealing all of your bad eventually. Eventually, God will step back in His mercy and grace on your life because you think you're God of the human race and it's your job to go around and say all the bad things. You're so smart. You're going to say all these true things that are bad about somebody. Maybe God ought to just start telling us what He knows about you. Maybe we ought to see where you've been going on the Internet. Maybe God ought to just figure out when you checked out somebody else's wife at the church the other day, and what you thought about. Listen, just because something's true, it does not give anybody the right to go around talking about it all the time. The tongue. Hold that tongue. Control that tongue. Get your tongue under control. It'll destroy your marriage. It'll destroy your spirituality. It'll destroy your friendships. Some of you need to knock it off before your kids turn out to be like you. They're going to get in all sorts of trouble in life because they don't control their mouth. The tongue. The tongue. And, like I said, I've preached it with vigor, but I really don't know of anybody that's going around bad-mouthing and talking and disloyal. I don't know that in our church. I've had it in the 7 years I've been here, and I'm glad it's gone. Got to destroy a church. But, preventive, be careful. The tongue's wild. Get us in more trouble than what we can imagine. Hurts people far worse than we can ever imagine. Get the tongue under control. If you're here today, you never trusted Christ as Savior, you ought to get born again. The sermon, though good for anybody, the sermon has been primarily to those that are born again. But let me say to everybody that's a guest today, God loves you. God sent His Son Jesus to die on the cross for you. That's what Christmas is all about. And if you die today and you're not sure you go to heaven, I wish you would take care of that today. We can show you how in a moment. We're going to have a thing called an altar call, and you can respond to it. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes, every head bowed.